Representatives from the drug industry, the World Health Organization, and the World Trade Organization are among those meeting in Norway today to talk about ways to make life-saving drugs more affordable to people in developing countries. Getting low-cost medicine to those who need it has been a problem for decades, NPR's Richard Harris reports.
The world is full of diseases that could easily be cured at very little cost. Consider intestinal worms. Michael Creamer, an economics professor at Harvard, says in some parts of Africa, 90% of the children carry these pests, which deprive them of many days in the classroom each year.
These worms can be quite easily treated for medicine that costs perhaps a dollar a year. And yet this medicine is just not being used very widely.
That's because a dollar a year is still too much money. It would take 10% of Kenya's health budget to treat everyone with worms. And it's not just the price of the medicine, it's the cost of the doctors and nurses and health clinics. As a result, millions of people are sick of, or even die from, easily treatable or preventable diseases every year. Diarrhea, malaria, schistosomiasis. But Creamer says there was little public outcry in the rich nations of the world to make life-saving drugs available to people in poor countries.
Maybe it's a little bit harder for somebody in the U.S. to think about what it's like to have malaria or what it's like to have schistosomiasis, but there are plenty of people in the U.S. who've been affected by AIDS, and I think they naturally sympathize with others who are in the same situation.
There was simply no movement in the United States to combat the horrible but unfamiliar diseases of the developing world. Ronald Bayer from Columbia University's School of Public Health says the reason was straightforward.
The difference between AIDS and diarrheal diseases, tuberculosis, which kills more than 2 million people a year globally, malaria, which kills more than 1 million people a year, measles, which kills almost 1 million people a year, is the absence of a strong activist force able to capitalize on the morally compelling story of therapies unavailable to the poor.
But AIDS spawned a great deal of activism in the United States, and now some of those activists are turning their attention to AIDS internationally. Drug companies have responded by slashing the price of their drugs to poor people overseas. But Bayer says it wasn't simply a matter of morality. They were also pushed by competitors, such as the drug company Cipla in India, which is preparing to offer even cheaper generics on the market.
If Cipla didn't exist, if companies like Cipla didn't exist, it wouldn't make a difference that the moral atmosphere had changed. But it was the willingness of Cipla, it seems to me, to challenge the international pharmaceutical firms, really made possible action on this moral agenda.
To be sure, Daniel Callahan from the Hastings Center in New York State says outrage against the pharmaceutical industry is nothing new.
Adam Smith in The Wealth of Nations in 1776 complained about pharmacists charging too high prices and the like. So this problem has been around a long time.
But AIDS is becoming the worst epidemic in world history, and pharmaceuticals is the most profitable industry in America. So Callahan says the contrast is especially stark. But even industry critics like Callahan acknowledge that drug companies alone can't solve all the world's health problems.
There were a lot more people putting some money into this problem in addition to what the drug companies have done. It might be possible to make a real dent in it. By themselves, the drug companies will not be able to really change the tide here.
And now that AIDS has become an international issue, activists and public health experts who organized the meeting in Norway are hoping to broaden the debate to include the forgotten diseases. The conference in Norway isn't likely to result in a firm commitment to solutions, but at least many of the key parties are finally sitting down to talk. Richard Harris, NPR News, Washington.